Hi guys, welcome to the Tales of an African Princess in America. My name is Ozzy. So today we're continuing the conversation on all things African weddings, and it's the third part of a four-part series. Well, we talked about dating in the African context, and we talked about, you know, the whole bride price and dowry process, and today we're talking about traditional weddings. And so I'm really excited to talk about that with my friend Toby. Hi, Toby.
Hi, guys.
Toby actually has a page just dedicated to all things traditional weddings, and I feel like she's the right person to talk to about everything traditional weddings. Right, Toby?
Yes, and so much more.
So it's really nice to have you. So tell me, what made you really interested in talking about weddings?
First off, weddings are lovely. They're fun. And maybe coming from the African setting, weddings has always been the event to go to, you know,
right,
to eat all types of lovely food, to see all the new traditional trends, to see how everyone is all decked out. What led me to having my page on Instagram, Obodo Weddings, shameless plug, is that I noticed that when I'm as I'm planning for my wedding right now, my white wedding here in the U.S., I realized there weren't a lot of vendors where I'm staying at the moment. And there wasn't just somewhere I could go to and say, okay, this person does drinks, this person does that and this. You know, just a variation of vendors that catered to, you know, African weddings.
Right.
Including event centers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I just decided I was going to promote people's events, their weddings, their birthdays, as well as the vendors who catered to those weddings. But most importantly, to showcase how African weddings take place in different parts of the country.
Are you only interested in traditional weddings, or do you also look out for religious weddings as well?
I look out for the religious weddings as well. The point I'm trying to put across is, you know, the bride and the groom are somehow African. It could be just the bride or it could be both of them, you know, but I want it to be to promote, you know, the African culture, be it whether it's the white wedding or, you know, the traditional wedding.
Okay, so let's talk about the African culture. You know, we're in the U.S. and a lot of people are always amazed every time it's an African wedding, and people ask a lot of questions. And so if you were to explain to someone why most Africans would have two ceremonies, how would you explain that?
What I'm going to say is, before many of the African countries were colonized, what we recognized was our traditional weddings.
Okay.
And so traditional, once you're done with the traditional part, you know, of your wedding, you are legally married.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm going to say is the traditional wedding is so much fun.
Right. It is so much fun. Honestly, like,
so much fun.
I love traditional weddings because I feel like we have the capacity to just express ourselves the best way we can. In a traditional setting, we have music, we have dancing. It's always a lot of fun, right?
Right, right. That's the place where you can express yourself and no one is ever going to tell you you're doing the most.
Right, right. Because Africans are known to do the most. That's true.
We do the most.
Well, let's talk about the different aspects of a traditional wedding. Let's start with the food. Food is a major part of African weddings. Who takes care of the food in traditional weddings, typically?
Okay, so where I'm from, I'm from the western part of Nigeria, Yoruba to be exact. If I'm not mistaken, the Igbos and the Yorubas, when it comes to that, the woman's side takes care of a majority of what happens at a traditional wedding.
Right, right.
You know, food included.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a lot better where sometimes if the bride's family don't have, you know, the means to be able to cater to thousands of people that are usually in traditional weddings.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they join funds together and resources together to make the day, you know, how the bride would have imagined it to be. But particularly, it's the bride's family who handles all of that.
Right. And then, you know, the kind of food that we serve at traditional weddings is also unique. You know, you don't serve like lasagna. You don't serve, you're not serving mashed potatoes or any of that. You know, it's still the traditional food that you would typically find in your village, say, you know what I mean? So what is on the menu in traditional weddings?
Oh, where do I start from? That's the real... So in my father's part, I would say you can't start a traditional wedding without the usual.
Please don't say beans. Well, I don't know what beans will be doing at a wedding. I still don't get it. I don't know why people have, and the beans, oh my god, it's all mashed up, jeez. But
no. Well, I think what I would say is it's two parts.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the gifts, which, you know, you definitely have the different types of food.
Okay.
You know, that comes in. Mm-hmm. Those are the gifts. They're not cooked.
Okay.
But they are food. Mm-hmm. Those are the gifts that they bring to the wife's family.
And this is like the, we talked about bride price last week and how the groom has to, you know, fulfill some requirements.
Yes,
and once
yes.
he's done that, then he can proceed to the traditional wedding, right? And so that's what you're talking
right,
about.
Right, right, right. Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about food, the first part is bringing out the raw food stuff. Mm-hmm. You have the yams, you have the rice, mm-hmm. you have all sorts.
Mm-hmm.
The cows and the goats. Ooh, delicious goats. When we come into the actual cooked food, there is no party, there is no traditional wedding without jollof rice.
Oh, you know. Awesome, awesome. And it's always really spicy too.
Ooh. You're making me think of eating that right now.
Right. When I talk of spice, I mean like hot pepper, not
hot
just
pepper.
Right.
Yeah. So you have that. Then you have your different array of different types of meats.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Then you have the pounded yam.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Yoruba culture. Pounded yam basically is cooked yam that has been pounded
vigorously
by experienced women.
Hands.
Yes, experienced hands.
Right.
To make a muscle. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to explain it, but
it's hard. Yeah.
Majorly, that's what people go to people's weddings for, really, even mm-hmm. if they know you.
Right.
Shamelessly going to people's wedding for food.
I go for food, honestly. I go for music and I go for food. So the dancing and the food, yeah, that's what I go for.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So we talked about the food. You know, there has to be lots of rice, jollof rice. There has to be traditional food, like, you know, eba or pounded yam with some soup.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There has to be all kinds of meat and spicy sauces, you know. Ooh. Things like that. Let's talk about the spraying now. A lot of people ask me why people would get sprayed at weddings. I mean, to someone who isn't African, the whole spraying of dollar bills on someone, it looks a little bit offensive, right?
Well, I think, like, you know, just like how people don't understand that when you're traditionally married, you're already married. Mm-hmm. It's the same way we have spraying.
Mm-hmm.
In the Western culture, you know, I don't know how that came about, mm-hmm. but when you spray a woman money,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes it might be in derogatory.
Right,
you know,
right, right.
Form. But where we come from, spraying is, it has been part of the culture. There is no wedding where, in fact, when you're not sprayed at your wedding, it means people don't really like you.
I feel like there's a culture to spray money. I feel like people do it for two reasons. People do it because, of course, they love the couple, but I feel like mm-hmm. people also do it to show off.
Of course, to show off.
Right.
I don't want to shade your people, but you know.
I know even people do it to show off, I know.
Yes, yes. You know, they do it to show off. Not mm-hmm. even only Igbo people, even mm-hmm. the Yorubas and mm-hmm. everyone else. Sometimes mm-hmm. they do it to show off. In fact, they even have machines now.
I saw that on Amazon. It's actually called a spray gun, and it's on yes. Amazon. Yeah.
That they use it to spray money now. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. I mean.
I feel like I need to get to the level where I'm spraying money with a spray gun. I don't know. I feel like I'll just be looking at my paycheck just going up in the air. I'm like, oh!
Hey, but let's not deny
I'm not
the
there
fact
yet.
That some of that money is just $1.
I'm not quite there yet. I feel like I'll spend a good 30 minutes on the dance floor with my $1 and it will go a long way.
Some people just dance at people's weddings so that they can get sprayed.
Right. Who does the money go to at the end of the day?
Huh, you know what? That is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, like for my traditional wedding, you know, there was a time.
And you guys, we're going to have a few pictures from her traditional wedding. Awesome. Just beautiful.
I'm shy. But like, for example, at my traditional wedding, there were some times where they were spraying the mother of the groom or the mother of the bride.
Right.
You know, I don't know. By the time they picked up the money, I don't know which bag they put it into.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just knew that by the time I was going home, I had bags of money.
Oh, wow.
And so I don't know from who or for what. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just an understanding that wherever the money goes into, mm-hmm. it's all right, you know.
Okay, okay. And I've seen something really weird. Like, I don't know if this happens a lot, but I've seen situations where, you know, you're the bride, I'm dancing with you, and then people are spraying me also as they're spraying you, and I'm keeping some of that money because they're spraying me. So how does that work?
So the respectable thing is just allow,
give it to the bride
and the groom. Exactly.
Yeah.
Just give it to the bride.
I've seen people pocket that, and I'm just like, no, that's not right. That's not right. I mean, you're dancing with them and everything, but the money is being sprayed. We're here for the wedding, right? So yeah, even if you're going to dance from now to next week, the money is still for the couple, I think. I think
you know what? I just thought about a rule. Once the money touches the floor, it belongs to the couple.
Oh, really?
That's my rule now. I just made it.
Let's talk about music. I know some people go for live music. Some people go for DJs. What's your opinion on live music versus DJs?
Now, taking an example from my own wedding, I had both.
Okay.
Only because I wanted to satisfy my parents and the older people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because the live music, what they usually play is, of course, live instrumentals. And, of course, they sing songs by other artists.
So by request. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by request. Mm-hmm. So these people in the band, they just sing other people's songs and, you know, remix it a little bit to mm-hmm. make it sound more live bandish.
Right.
That was the word. You know, and that's what the older people like because that's what they get sprayed to.
Okay.
Whatever they sing,
mm-hmm.
right? So for me, at my wedding, after a certain time, cutoff time, the live band stopped playing.
Okay.
And the DJ continued, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when the DJ started, you know, then the younger people now came up because nobody's spraying the younger people. The younger people just want to be there until after hours to dance. You know, to have their own mini club session,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the traditional wedding. So you could have both or you could just have one.
But I feel like a live band is definitely more expensive. If you were thinking about cutting costs, this would be a good place to do it, right?
Not really. There are different types or mm-hmm. should I say different levels
mm.
of live band, you know. For example, now, you can either decide to call a live band or call someone like King Sunny Ade. For those who don't know, that is the maestro.
Legend.
You know, but, you know, there's always different levels of these bands. You know, mm-hmm. there's some that are as pricey as the whole wedding itself.
Right.
And there's some that are just okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you just want to satisfy both age groups, just have both.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly,
if you're trying to save money, just approach some young ladies are in your church choir or something. They can always do the live band for you. I mean, it's not that deep.
I don't think so.
I mean, these are Christian hymns, Christian praise songs. I feel like people should be able to do this. Like, if I have a friend out there who is, you know, your wedding is coming up and you don't have all that money and you're thinking about, okay, I want a live band, but I'm not too sure. Listen, you can call me. I will sing for you. Okay. You haven't heard me sing. I would say that you haven't heard me sing. Okay, let's talk all about outfits. I love, love, love the outfits. So let's talk about the outfits. Now, a lot of brides, a lot of couples are now changing into 2-3 outfits. What do you think about that whole culture of changing into multiple outfits?
I realized that the changing into 2 outfits has always been there.
Hmm.
Now, when you're changing into 3 or 4, you're just doing the most. And then we have to not forget how people's eyes are very big.
Instagram opened our eyes. I mean,
your eyes are very big.
Yeah.
You know? And what I'm trying to say is that people are just greedy.
Well, I'm not greedy. I'm just like wanting to have the best.
For example, mm-hmm. when I mentioned that people have been changing into 2 outfits, mm-hmm. I think I should have clarified that if the couple are from 2 different parts of Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
my parents were from 2 different parts of the country. So
right.
The traditional way is that the bride comes in the outfit of her people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the second outfit would be the outfit of the husband, you know, just trying to say that she has moved over to her husband's side,
mm-hmm.
you know. And for me also, I married someone who is not of the same culture with me. So I definitely had to change twice.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't say that there's a rule book to changing twice. Some people don't even change at all.
Right.
Because I'm not even going to lie, it's a hassle to take off all those clothes. All traditional clothes are not light.
Right.
They are all heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the truth is when you wear them and you see them in pictures, you always look beautiful.
Amazing.
Yeah, that is Ooh. The beauty of our tradition,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a pain that you're okay. Beauty is pain, you know. But when you're not changing to 3 outfits or 4 outfits, then you'd start to see that these ones are just trying to show off that, okay,
right,
I can do this. You want the best, you pay for the best. Right. And you will get the best.
Honestly. And I mean, if someone is out there and they cannot afford these things, you can still have your wedding. The most important thing is that you're happy at the end of the day, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about what actually does happen at a traditional wedding. You know, we talked about everything around it, but what is the program like? So tell us a little bit about, you know, what your experience was like.
The truth is, I've been to so many weddings, but when it comes to yours,
mm-hmm.
half of the time, you're not even there when all the rites are done.
Okay.
For the bride.
Mm-hmm.
The groom is there from the beginning to the end.
Okay.
But for the bride, you come in when they're introducing you to the family. And that's like half of the traditional rites already done.
Okay.
You know, so you're there, you know, chilling wherever you are, waiting anxiously to just get everything done.
Right.
You know, so half of the time, you don't even know what's going on in there. For me, it was only when I saw pictures mm-hmm. and videos that I realized that I had a very hilarious husband. He was just making everybody laugh because of the mannerism and the way he was. He's never done that before. So everything mm-hmm. was just so basically, in our tradition, it's so similar to the Igbo tradition
right.
as well. You know, there's always the going to greet each other's house. You kneel down in front of each family. They pray for you. And then you go and change. I guess the only difference is where in the Igbo tradition you give your husband the wine or the palm wine to
mm-hmm,
drink.
Mm-hmm.
In the Yoruba tradition, you're only changing. You're wearing a new hat.
Oh, or okay.
A new cap for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can wear it for him while kneeling, or you can wear it for him while standing. It doesn't right. matter.
Right.
You know, and then when you wear it, as you're wearing it for him, you're putting your hands on his head and you're praying for him as well.
Hmm.
And he would do the same thing, you know, to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that I think that's just the major difference.
Nutshell, yeah. There's something that the Yorubas do that I really, really, really like. And the Yorubas are big on, I guess, they have a big display of respect, you know.
Yeah.
I really love it when the guys, you know, prostrate for the family of the bride. Now, why do they do that?
It's just a form of respect.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming in and he's coming in big with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not him prostrating. It's mm-hmm. him and his friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, they have someone called the Alagai Duro.
Okay.
Basically, she is the host from the girl's side
mm-hmm.
who is like teasing him and telling him that, oh, you're not laying down well. Because you're not laying down well, you have to drop this money in this basket.
Oh, wow.
You know? Or saying that if you don't lay down where, we won't give this girl to you. You know, just teasing and saying all those things just right. to make the event live.
Now, let's talk about weddings in America, right? You know, most times people cannot go back to Nigeria or whatever African country they come from uh-huh. to recreate this beautiful traditional wedding, right? And uh-huh. so they opt to do it in America. But I've noticed that there are so many differences between traditional weddings in Nigeria and traditional weddings in America.
Okay.
Let me just start with the dance troupes. I don't get it. I've never understood why you would need to have. And I mean, I feel like it's just too distracting. You know what I mean? Like, the wedding is supposed to be for the bride and groom. I feel like all attention should be on them. But when you now have a dance troupe, I feel like it takes away from it. I don't know. That's just me. What do you think about that?
So, two things. With regards to the dance troupe, it depends on the program of the wedding and how the planner has planned that wedding. If you're going mm-hmm. to have a dance troupe, I believe it's supposed to be during the period, the gap period where the bride and groom are not necessarily in the room. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've gone to do their second change and they're trying to, the dance troupe is trying to keep the visitors or the guests engaged. Well, that's how I saw it in one of my friend's wedding. There's this thing they do in the US here where, because they don't have an actual traditional ceremony, they do a second dress change mm-hmm. into their traditional outfits.
And this is on the day of the wedding.
And this is on the day
reception
of the wedding.
The reception. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hey, so each his own, but for me, I feel it's not necessary.
Mm-mm.
Because number one, that period that you do your second change, that's the period where you and your groom are going to be dancing and trying to have fun. How are you going to do that in a traditional outfit like that?
Mm.
You can't move. And I'm talking with regards to the traditional ashoke that we wear in the Yoruba side. That thing is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even spread your legs and dance. Not like, you know, you're breaking it down.
She said spread your legs and dance. But listen, you still dance at the traditional weddings wearing all that. So I feel like if you're really bent on wearing it, you will find a way to wear it. But
have
my thing is,
seen the way people dance at traditional weddings? You can move your arms and your legs. And of course, most of the dances involve, you know, your backside and stuff like that.
Right.
Of it. So you are really going to be going down and doing all sorts of dancing acrobats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, with those outfits, it's not really that
easy.
Awesome.
Right. But
easy.
I mean, I'm kind of on the fence on that one, because I feel like, fine, you know, changing into a traditional outfit might be uncomfortable for dancing, but I've seen people change into really uncomfortable, like English ball gowns. And you know what I mean? Like these dresses that it looks so snatched in and beautiful, but you know, I know that, baby, you cannot breathe in that thing. So I know that, you know, brides do the most.
Let me put in my shameless plug. So yes, Obodo Weddings, OBODO Weddings, there you would see actual pictures of different types of traditional rites in different parts of the world. Okay. You know, just recently we posted a Malian wedding. That's the people from Mali. How they dress and what.
I don't know anyone from Mali. Interesting.
It's such a beautiful tradition. And most of my pictures or videos under the text, you would see the vendors that handle these weddings.
Right.
You know? So if you're African and you're in a certain place, and I make sure to put the states, with regards to America, I make sure I put the states so you see who these vendors are.
Right.
You know,
even better.
That part.
Right.
You know, so yeah, shameless plug ended.
Let's talk about guest lists, okay? Like when I was growing up in Nigeria, the way that we used to get invited to weddings was we would go to church after the sermon. You know, the preacher, you know how you have the announcements, they'll say, oh, okay, next week or whatever, this couple, they're having a wedding, you're all invited, like literally the whole church. And I'm telling you, like, people would plan, and like you would see, it would be like a church service, everyone would be at the wedding, and everyone will, you know, to the reception as well, right? So my sister was telling me that they had something called committee of friends. So she was telling me that when you're getting married, your friends actually come together and they tell you, okay, so how much do you have for your wedding, and what are the things that you need for your wedding, you know, where do you need help? And you know, that way a lot of couples would have their friends actually take care of things for them, and so they're able to have these huge weddings. I'm talking about people who don't have that much. But how is it now that it's now become so difficult to have, you know, everyone come to your wedding? What do you think about that?
Times have changed. That committee of friends thing that you're talking about, you're on your own.
So you're saying you're not good friends anymore. That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying they aren't good friends anymore. I'm saying times are hard.
Well, times are hard, but people are still, I feel like priorities are changing. People are now putting their money to things that benefit them more. I would say it that way.
Let me put this to you. Why are you having 1,000 people wedding when you know you can't afford it? Let me give you an example. So for mine, I realized that, you know, even if you have a set headcount that you want, your parents and in-laws would scatter that for you. Headcounts you and your husband decide on, your parents would double it.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's just how it is, especially when you're thinking of African weddings. And that's really what happened with mine.
Okay.
But thankfully, we planned adequately for it.
Okay.
Now,
and your wedding, by the way, your wedding was in Nigeria, so it wasn't in America, right?
Yes.
Okay. This was traditional wedding. Okay, go
yes,
ahead.
And people did not believe that I could have a well-organized wedding. I mean, not having 1,000 people. But I fought hard for it, and it worked out. We thank God it worked out. And it can happen, people. I keep telling you, it can happen. You know, don't fall for the trap where they tell you you have to have 600 people or 1,000 people at your wedding.
Right.
Now, when you talk about the association of friends, my dear, please, what part of the world does that happen at?
Well, it happened in Nigeria when I was growing up.
What year was this?
But, I'm talking about 1992, 1993.
Thank you.
Let me tell you something. At those weddings, the decoration was always like the church crew. The people who were doing decorations for like the church service, they were the same people who, you know, the court, the wedding. They've just used different colors. They had a lot of balloons. You know, it wasn't all that, but the food was good. It was a that lot is the true of
definition
food,
of a minimalist, you know? Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now, let's fast forward to 2018, my darling.
Right. It's a production now. I feel like it's a production.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it really is. But yet, you still have to have that hold on your wedding. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, if you invite 1,000 people, mm-hmm, and you cannot afford it, and you're using, they're maxing up all your credit cards, and then to eat, you know, McD's burgers after, you know, what have you done to yourself? And it gives, you either get them or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in the US here, even if you have a registry, maybe only 10% of your guests will buy you gifts.
That's true, though.
Just 10%.
That's really true.
Most mm-hmm. of them just come and eat your food. Like I always say, you're on your own. Nobody right. buys you nothing. Everybody's coming nothing. To eat your rice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. about it. I mean, it's even harder. I feel like it's even harder here to get money. You probably get more money in Africa than you get money here. Because some right. people have opted to have like cash registries.
Mm-hmm,
you know, where mm-hmm. people would give money as opposed to buying gifts. And right. still, your cash register will be empty.
Something else. Let's talk about the worst things that have happened to you at a wedding.
Ooh, well, thankfully, I haven't mm-hmm. had many mishaps. I okay. think the only thing that has happened to me was my dress was tight. And after mm-hmm. eating so much, I was so uncomfortable. So, yes, I like food, everybody. You know, food is life.
Right. Okay, well, let me tell you, a lot of things have happened to me. Let me tell you. Well, the first one, I would say definitely number one on my list was the wedding where I actually fell on the dance floor. So, you know how they, you know how they call all the, you know, all the single ladies and everything? And, of course, you know, they... This was in Nigeria. And so I went to Nigeria. My friend was getting married and they called all the single ladies. And of course, they always make you feel guilty when you're single. They always like, you know, we know there's still some singles out there, you know, and then they look at you and they're like, yeah, aren't you like there are singles on this table? Like, okay. So I finally came out and the bride was going to throw the bouquet, right?
Mm.
And okay, so she did. And I'm pretty really fast on my feet. Like I used to be a sprinter in high school. So I take that pretty seriously. And so when she threw the bouquet, I ran for it, you know, with my heels and everything. And I'm telling you, my fingers had touched the tip of the stem of the bouquet, right? And this lady came from nowhere. She just hit me with her body, like, and I was on the floor on my face. In Nigeria, where everyone exaggerates everything. And it was like, oh, like it was horrible.
Oh my God.
And that's definitely my worst story because I felt like I really didn't want to come out here in the first place. But then I did. My second story was actually a wedding where I was the maid of honor. And this was actually at my sister's wedding, right? And she made this, you know, the tailor made this outfit with a long tail. And as we were dancing in, someone stepped on the tail and I just didn't know. And I moved and the thing just like ripped in half. I'm telling you, it ripped. And, you know, I feel like I knew that it ripped, but I was trying not to make it obvious that the dress had ripped. So I was, you know, trying to still dance and not stop the whole train from moving forward. But I was like, okay, when I get to the front, I'll just like move away and go fix it, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, as I was, you know, trying to figure this thing out, everyone was like, oh my God, your dress is torn. Like, I'm just like, okay. Everyone was just calling me out. And it was so embarrassing. Like, so those are the funny things that have happened to me at a wedding.
Wow, Ozzy, you sure they really wanted to invite you to those weddings, first of all?
I was a maid of honor at the second one. So I feel like I was already there, you know? But that happened.
Oh, man. Well, hey, you live to tell the tale.
Right. Okay, so... you know, before we go, tell us a little bit more about this Obodo Weddings on Instagram. You know, tell us the inspiration behind the page, what we can find there. So are you a wedding planner now? You know, where do you see this going moving forward?
Obodo Weddings. Gosh, this started overnight. Honestly, I slept.
It's probably the wedding fever.
I slept. I was stressed out because I couldn't find vendors that could cater to my type of wedding, being that it's an African wedding. You know, I want to have my own African food, you know, at the event. And I was just getting calls from other event centers telling me that I have to pay an arm and a leg to get outside catering.
Right.
You know, there wasn't like a place where I could get just completely free of any fees and whatnot. And so I just slept, and then I was talking to one of my friends, OZ. And then I was just talking to
me?
About, oh, yes, you.
Oh, what?
No way. And then, you know, I was just thinking about things that I can do. And all I know is I slept and woke up the next day and I just started a page. You know, and it caters to African weddings here in the U.S. and diaspora. And what we aim to do is to showcase African weddings, not particularly Nigerian or Guinean, you know, or Senegalese, but all African weddings, you know, in different parts of the world, with vendors, basically showcasing the vendors that cater to these weddings. You know, wherever they are. And if it's in the U.S., you know, I make sure to point it out that, you know, this is in Maryland. So, you know, that these vendors listed, you know, with these weddings cater to Maryland weddings and probably in the DMV and whatnot. So, basically, it's African weddings, vendor appreciation or vendor resource. You know, and we also cater to, you know, just African events as well, not just African weddings, but African events. You know, if you have a 50th birthday and, you know, it's in a different part of the world, but you're African and you want to showcase the beauty of that event, you know, we're willing and able to, you know, upload and post it.
And how can, if I want to be featured on your Instagram page, like how do I get my pictures across to you? Like, do I have to pay for this or how does it work?
Oh, it's free. I just want to showcase the African culture. And you, all you can do is just send an email to obodoweddings@gmail.com. Very easy. Obodoweddings@gmail.com. I'll look through it, give you the specifications of how these pictures should look. And of course, you have to make sure to give me a complete vendor list of your weddings. You know, I just got tired of going to websites that say they showcase African weddings, but are just particularly for maybe Nigerian weddings or particularly for Ghanaian weddings. I want to showcase, you know, other parts of the world, you know, and help vendors to be able to have access to other parts, you know, of the world. You don't only have to cater to a certain sect of Africans. You can make
this is genius, actually. This is genius. I feel like you're making things easier for other brides and other couples as they come along, because, you know, things that were difficult for you when you were planning your wedding, you're actually making it super easy for other people. That's really good. Thumbs up.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope it helps other ladies out there, because planning a wedding is not easy, man.
Okay, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us on this episode, the African Wedding Series. Next week, we're going to talk about the religious aspect, the church weddings, and we're going to talk more about that. But what you really should know about African traditional weddings are that they're to honor the parents, having the elders from both sides of the family bless the couple, and then having that celebration with the friends and family. That's pretty much what it's about, all right? So thank you guys for listening, and thank you, Toby, for being on the show again.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
And if you guys want to learn more about African weddings, you can head on to our Instagram page, Obodo Weddings, and you'll find everything that you need to know about it, all right? Thank you guys, and have a great week. Bye-bye.
Do you know that you can support this podcast with a small monthly contribution, as little as $1 every month? If you'd like to do so, please visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com. Thank you.